sin that made my Savior bleed, I hang my head in shame. Yet for the cleansing that I need, that precious blood I claim. The stripes by which my Savior bled bring healing, this I know. The blood that stained his garments red wash mine as white as snow. Wash mine as white as snow.
The harvest of the sin I've sown, he reaped at Calvary, and so
healing, this I know. The blood that stained his garments red washed mine as white as snow. Washed mine as white as snow. The sun could sooner cease to shine, keep to itself its ray. Bring healing, this I know. The blood that stained his garments red washed mine as white as snow. Washed mine as white as snow. Washed mine as white as snow. Wash mine as white as snow.
Amen. I certainly have enjoyed all the singing today. I always enjoy good gospel singing. Amen. When people sing about the Lord and His goodness and what He's done for us. It sure is good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Again, I want to say it's good to have guests with us. We're glad that you're visiting with us, and we trust that your hearts would be open to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. We have guests in our midst today. We have a special couple in our midst today, Chris and Jennifer Horn. They received Jesus as their personal Savior Tuesday. And I'm just so excited for them, and they're excited, and it's just good to see them in the house of God today. They experienced the cleansing flow of the blood of Jesus. Amen. The blood of Jesus will cleanse you from your sin. Right. It'll relieve the sin debt. Amen. How many of you know what it is to owe a debt? Raise your hand. The rest of you, we need to see you after the service for a financial counseling. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know what it is to owe a debt. I want to talk to you this morning about forgiveness. Forgiveness. The account of Scripture that we're going to look in is one of the best accounts in all the Scripture that Jesus chooses to give us the explanation of forgiveness and what forgiveness produces in our lives. You know, we all are born with a need to be forgiven. You say, born that way? Are we born that way? Well, we're born sinners. You don't become a sinner. You're born. You come into this world a sinner. We have been conceived in sin. The Bible says we're shapen in iniquity in Psalm 51, and we're conceived in sin. So sin's not something you become. It's something you are. And sin is, in the Scripture, it's It's pictured as a debt. We owe a debt to God. We've sinned. We've broken the commandments of God. We've offended the holiness of God. We have disobeyed. We have transgressed the law of God. And that's sin. It's a debt. And we owe the debt. And the debt must be paid. Now, how is that debt going to be paid? Well, the Bible tells us the only way that that can be paid. You see, it's not that we can pay it. You will spend not only this life, but then you will be in all eternity trying to repay that debt. And it shall never be paid if you try to pay your sin debt. Now, that's not very good news. However, there is some good news, and that is that the sin debt has already been paid. In full. In full. Your sin debt has been paid. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. Before I get into the scripture, I want to give you a little analogy. I want to give you just a little bit of the parable that Jesus speaks to this man, this Pharisee. Now, a Pharisee, and I'm going to give you some terms that's going to be in our account of scripture and kind of help break it down for you, okay? A Pharisee in our day would be viewed as a very religious person, a very astute, a church-going kind of person that was very religious. Now notice I use that word religious and not a person who has a personal relationship with Christ through salvation. A very religious person, a Pharisee. And this Pharisee in verse number 40 of chapter number 7 is named Simon. Now, Simon, for whatever reason, and I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, he invites the Lord Jesus Christ to his home for a meal, to sit, the Bible says, at meat, to have a meal with him. Now, I don't know if he was just curious and wanted to know more about Jesus. I don't know that if he wanted to try to find fault in him. The Pharisees often did that, we find from the scripture. They often would try to find fault in the Lord and find a way to accuse him of being outside of the bounds of their religion. And so therefore they could disown or disclaim any of his teachings. So Simon had Jesus into his home. Now the custom of that day is a little different than the custom of our day. When you were an invited guest, there was a table usually in the center of the room. And people pulled up to that table and they didn't really see it as much as they kind of relaxed, almost in a laying position, with facing the table with their feet outstretched. And those were the invited guests around the table. And then those that were not invited, they could come just to listen in on the conversation, kind of like a group session on a porch back when I was a child, and many of you when you were growing up. People in the community would just gather after a meal. They would gather on the porch and they would have just conversation. They didn't watch TV. They didn't play video games. They didn't have those stupid cell phones. Everybody say amen right there. That you reach for about every 2 minutes or 2 seconds if you're addicted. So, you know, they didn't have all that. They just sit out on the porch and they just talked and they just got to know one another, and they talked about interesting things. Well, that's the way it was in this culture, in this custom of the day in which this setting is. And so Simon has the Lord Jesus over, and they're sitting at meat. And then there was this woman. Woman's very interesting in this story. There's some things said about her that we're really going to hone in on that I want you to get. If you just read this casually, you'll miss it. And so for that reason, I want to kind of slow down and let's really get into some of the particulars about this woman. So that's the setting, okay? You have this homeowner named Simon. He invites the Lord Jesus. And I find it very, very interesting that Jesus accepted his invitation. To me, that just says something. Jesus accepted this man's invitation. Now, Jesus had a reputation. And I want you to look at your Bible, if you would, in chapter 7. Look, if you would, in verse number 33. Jesus is speaking to this religious crowd, and he said, you know, John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he hath a devil. The Son of Man, Jesus speaking of himself, he said, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of all her children. And it just so happens that after Jesus made this statement to where he said, you know, the reputation that I have is I'll just sit down with anybody because I'm a friend of the publicans, which were kind of the outcast, the down and outers. I will sit down with the down and outers, and I'm a friend of sinners. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, brethren, Jesus is a friend of sinners. And we need to be praising God from now to throughout eternity that Jesus is a friend of sinners. The only way that you'll ever get to heaven is because Jesus is a friend of sinners. All right? So Jesus had the reputation that he would sit with the down and outers, but now here's this kind of up and outer. This religious guy that didn't view himself as a sinner. You know, there's people that don't view themselves as sinners. I remember about, 20, 25 years ago, I was speaking with a lady and I was trying to get her to realize that she needed to be saved. And I said, ma'am, I said, you do realize that you're a sinner. And she said, oh no, I'm not a sinner. And I mean, I was stunned. I think that's the first time that I'd ever talked to somebody that told me that. She replied and she said, I'm not a sinner. And after I got over the initial shock, I said, oh, but you are. And she said, I'm not. And I said, no, amen. I said, you are. You're a sinner. Not because I say so, but God says so. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're sinners. Every one of us are sinners. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're sinners. That's right. You say, I don't like that. Well, we can't change it. Can a leopard change his spots? Can't change it. Only Jesus can change that. You see, only Jesus can change that. He can change you. Listen, a dog can't change and become something else. That's right. An elephant can't become something else. But did you know you can become something else? If you're a sinner, you can become a saint. But only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, in reality, we're still sinners, but we're viewed as saints because we have been brought to God. Through the forgiveness of sin, we can be changed. Now, Jesus tells this man something. He said, I want you to understand about forgiveness. Can I ask you a question? Do you know what it is to be forgiven? I'm not talking about by grandma. I'm not talking about by a friend or a spouse. Do you know what it is to be forgiven by God? Do you even realize you need to be forgiven by God? God needs to forgive you. If you ever hope to have peace in your heart, I mean lasting peace, if you ever hope to have a home in heaven, you're going to have to be forgiven. It's the only way. And so here's what the Lord Jesus says. And I want to bring it to your level. Listen carefully to me, okay? This is for us. Let's suppose that you owe $50,000 to your local bank. And some of you are saying, we don't have to suppose that. Amen. But we're going to do it. We're going to suppose you owe $50,000 to your bank. And let's suppose that I owe $500,000 to my bank. And we bank with the same bank. All right? Now, let's suppose also that you're broke, bankrupt, you have nothing. And let's also suppose that I, who owe $500,000, am also broke, bankrupt, nothing. You with me? You owe $50,000, broke, you don't have any money to pay the bank. I owe $500,000, broke, I have no money to pay the bank. Now, who is in the worst shape? Don't answer that question out loud. The natural-minded man says, oh, well, it's you. You owe $500,000. Well, you know, if you have nothing to pay, you have nothing to pay. If you can't pay your debt, you can't pay your debt. So you might think, I'm in better shape than you. This is what little sinners think. I'm in better shape. I only owe $50,000. But you have nothing to pay it back. You have nothing. I owe $500,000. I have nothing. The banker's getting nothing from neither one of us. But then the banker calls and he says, Mr. Freeman, I want to tell you that I'm going to clear you of your debt. Well, I'll make it up to you, Mr. Banker. No, you don't have to make it up to me. I am forgiving your debt. $500,000. Clear. We're marking it off the books. You're forgiven of your debt. That's going to make me pretty happy. Actually, that's going to make me very happy. Amen. And let's just say that he also calls you and says, now, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, you're cleared of the $50,000. It's going to make you happy. Yeah. That's what happens here. This is the story. Don't miss it. Here's a man that couldn't get it. He couldn't get it. He couldn't get that when a person is forgiven of a great debt, they're going to show affection. They're going to be very thankful. Love is going to pour from their being. But so should love pour from the being of those who've been forgiven of a $50,000 debt. And so here's this man, and look if you would in verse number 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. So here's Simon, and we find that in verse number 40. That's the man's name, okay? Jesus addressed him as Simon. And so he invited Jesus. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm available to those who invite me. I have people all the time say, you know, I don't feel God in my life. Are you inviting him into your life? I don't feel close to God. Are you getting close to him? You see, Jesus will answer invitations. This man, though he was religious, though he was probably among those that were saying, well, you're a friend of sinners. How dare you do that? He had a bad attitude, and we're going to see that in a moment. He invited Jesus, and Jesus showed up. And he sat down at the table with him, the Bible says. And while he was there, notice verse 37, it says, behold, a woman in the city. Now, the way the story is flowing here, we are automatically made to believe this woman was well known. Many people believe that this woman was a prostitute. And she was a well-known woman in the city because of that. Because as the Bible flows, it doesn't try to tell us much about her. It's just, you know what? The people of the city knew this woman. They knew who she was. They don't have to call her name. Simon was identified by name. You know that Pharisee. Many of them. But not just any. It was Simon. But now there was this woman, and here you know who we're talking about. She was, notice verse 37, behold, there was a woman in the city which was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus said at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. And the Bible says, as she stood at his feet behind him, she was weeping. And she began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now here is an act of worship that probably is not surpassed in all the Bible. Here's a woman that I believe in my heart had already been saved. And she found out that Jesus was in the community in which she resided. And everybody knew this woman. And I'm going to show you in a moment that people still thought of her the way she was instead of the way she is. People will do that to you, you know. And so everybody knew who this woman was. And so here's this woman, and she's among the guests, and she's kind of standing out. But her devotion and her love for what Jesus has done for her begins to overflow in her, and she begins to show her affection outwardly by she steps up behind Jesus and she's weeping and her tears began to fall. And as they fall, the Bible says that they begin to fall on Jesus' feet and she wipes them with her hair and then she kissed his feet and then she anointed them with ointment. Yo, preacher, I would never do that. I would never do that, preacher. Yeah, I know. We're so full of pride, we probably wouldn't do hardly anything that a lot of people would do when they realize that God's been so good to me. It ought to break me down to where I would be willing to crawl to church if need be. See, this woman had junked all that. This woman had gotten a hold of what God had really done for her. This woman had honed in on what Jesus had really done for her. She got it. See, some folks just don't get it, but she got it. And she realized, God didn't have to do that for me. Jesus did not have to forgive me. Jesus did not have to become my friend and cleanse me of my sin. But he did, and I am so thankful that he did. You see, it changed her. And she was just broken at the thought of Jesus forgiving her. Now, immediately, if you look in verse number 39, it says, when the Pharisee, now,
When the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke within himself. Now you know what that means, right? He was thinking to himself, and this is what he said. Don't miss this. If he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to get the picture. So here they are, and the Pharisee thinks, I'm Mr. Somebody, right? I got this guy that's roaming around the area, and he's teaching all these wonderful truths, and he's healing all these people, and great mobs of people are following him. And I mean, he is the catch. He is the catch of the day. I mean, there's no one like him right now in the area. And he is at my house eating a meal with me. I'm somebody. And all of a sudden, he goes, oh my, how embarrassing. Here comes this woman. She's the town prostitute. And she's standing back and she's weeping and she's crying. And she's with her tears. She's taking her hair and she's cleansing Jesus' feet. And now she takes out the ointment and she begins to anoint his feet. And she's kissing his feet. And she's saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me. And he's going, oh my. Oh, how embarrassing. Stop it. And he's thinking to himself, and you, if you were who you say you were, if you were a real prophet, you wouldn't let this woman do that. You wouldn't let her carry on over you like that. And notice what he said about her. For she, and I want you to circle that next little two-letter word there, is a sinner. Simon didn't get it. He didn't get it. He thought she's still the same. She's a sinner. She is. But now I want you to go back with me and notice what God said about her. Okay? Look, if you would, in verse number 37. The Holy Spirit of God moving, telling this story, told Luke to write it this way. And behold, a woman in the city which, what's that next word? Was a sinner. See, that's why I believe she had the salvation experience. She had come to Christ. She had forgiveness of sin. She's been changed now. But see, Simon doesn't, listen, he doesn't want to come to terms with that because he doesn't get it, right? You following me? He doesn't get it. And so when people began to worship, when people began to give thanks, when people began to adore, when people began to praise God, religious people don't get it. They don't get it. Why would she do that? Why would she cry over her sin being forgiven? Would you have an emotion if a banker called you up and said, I want to clear that $500,000 debt? Or would you just say, oh, okay, thank you, and then hang the phone and go on with your business? She'd had a debt forgiven. And it's a debt far greater than $500,000. Listen to me. It's a debt that money cannot pay off. Your silver can't do it. Your possessions can't do it. No money can do it. And she got it. She realized, I'm forgiven. But not only did she realize it mentally, she realized it spiritually. She had experienced the peace of God that comes from a forgiven heart. She realized it. The wrath of God had been removed and the peace of God had been put in her heart. And she was just thankful. Now, if you're sitting here today and you've ever experienced forgiveness, you know what I'm talking about. Now, if you haven't, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I want to, before this message is over, I want to extend that to you. This is the forgiveness experience. She got it. Now, Simon had not experienced forgiveness because he was sitting there thinking, what is she doing? Why is she doing this? She's ruining my dinner. She's ruining my intent. I brought him here so that people would think I'm big deal. And now look at her. The Bible says, if you'll look at it, after he said, if he knew what type, manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner, Jesus knew what he was thinking. Look at verse number 40. Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. In other words, Simon, I need to tell you something. And Simon said, speak. He said in verse number 40, Master or teacher, say on. He said, I want to explain. Now, we've seen forgiveness experience. This woman experienced it, and it brought out something in her. Brethren, I'm telling you, when you experience the forgiveness of God, it does something to you. Amen? And I'm not talking about just for a day. It puts a fire in your heart that doesn't go out. Amen. Listen to me now. Oh, it might flicker from time to time. Come on now. It might flicker, but that fire in your heart never goes out when you realize the God of heaven has forgiven me. My sin is forgiven. I have been cleansed. I have a place in heaven. I have a relationship with God. I know Jesus is my Savior. Hey, that's real. It never goes out. Never. It never goes out. Now, it may flicker. And we may say some things we shouldn't say. And we may do some things we shouldn't do. But it doesn't change the fact that God still loves us and He's still willing to forgive us. That means yes. Amen. But now Simon didn't get it. And Jesus said, Simon, I want to help you understand why you don't get it. Here's why. In verse number 41, he said, there was a certain creditor. You know, the banker that I told you about earlier. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay. And I can't overemphasize this, brethren. They had nothing to pay. Nothing. They had nothing to pay. See, sometimes we've gotten to the place in our society to where we think, well, you know what? The church will do it, preacher. The church is going to pay my debt. The church cannot pay your debt, not your sin debt. The baptismal pool. I'm going to get baptized, and that is going to pay my debt. The baptismal pool has never paid your debt. It will never pay a debt. Baptism's good. I'm thankful for that. Red letter day in my life when I was baptized. But baptism did not pay my sin debt. And it doesn't pay yours. It has never paid a sin debt. And so folks in their mind, listen, they come up with all of these things. Well, this will pay. Surely this will pay my sin debt. I'll be good. I'll do good deeds. I'll be a good person. I'll do more good than bad, and surely that will pay my sin debt. No, it will not. It will not. Notice again what Jesus said. He said, they owed this debtor. And when, verse 42, they had nothing. Nothing is nothing. Broke. Bankrupt. Can I tell you, spiritually, that's where we all are when Jesus finds us. Bankrupt. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Brethren, this is about Jesus, not us. There's nothing we can do that's going to bring forgiveness of our sin to pay the debt that we have to God. And so here he said in verse 42, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. The word frankly there is a very interesting word. Down south, that word's used a lot. It means freely. When you go back and search the derivative of the word, it comes from grace. It means graciously. He freely, he graciously, not because of anything that this, listen, the debtors didn't call him up and say, please forgive me, please, please forgive my debt, please forgive my debt. No, he frankly, he did it out of the goodness of his heart. He didn't do it because the debtor was good. He did it because he was good. God didn't forgive me of my sin because I am good. God forgave me of my sin because God is good. You see, and that's what happens here. You'll never find, Jesus is showing this man, listen, Simon, you think you're something. You think you're better than that woman. Simon, you're no better than that woman. You're worse off than that woman. She saw her need. You do not see your need. You're in bad shape, Simon. You don't see your need. You think because you're a little 50 sinner that you're okay. And because she's a 500 sinner, that she's this way and you're that way. He said, no, you're both in the same predicament, Simon. You hearing me? So don't sit here this morning in church now and think, well, I have you to know, I was brought up in a Christian home. My daddy's a preacher. My mama is a Sunday school teacher. Or my daddy leads the choir. Or my daddy's a deacon. Or my mom this and that. And so I'm fine. Hey, listen, if you have never been born again, if you have never been saved, you are a debtor to God. Sometimes folks grow up in the church, and I'm for growing up in the church. Amen. I think it's a great thing. I was not brought up in church. Many of you were. Thank God for that. That's a wonderful thing. But growing up in church does not forgive the debt. And don't you think you're any better than someone who didn't grow up in church? Listen, you can go to hell from a church pew just as quick as you can from a bar stool. And so folks sit and they think, well, I'm a 50 pincer. Simon, you don't understand. You still owe a debt. And so he gave him this parable. And now we ask him a question. In verse number 43, Simon, in verse number 42, he said, he frankly forgave them both. In the end of verse number 42, and then he says this, tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? It's a good question. Which one's going to love him most? And then Simon says in verse number 43, he answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Now he didn't say which one's going to love him. He said, which one's going to love him most? He said, well, I guess the one he forgave the most. He said, you're right. So the next time you hear somebody shouting, amen, or the next time you see somebody sitting on one of these chairs and they're crying uncontrollably when somebody starts talking about being forgiven by Jesus, don't you judge their heart. You don't know where God found them, and I don't know where God found them. I don't know what God's done in their life. The next time somebody raises their hand when somebody starts talking or preaching or teaching or singing about going to heaven or being forgiven, don't say, oh boy, they're just a show off. Well, wait a minute now, hold it. I'm not saying you do that. I'm just saying we need to understand what Jesus is teaching here. When a person realizes how much they've been forgiven, it's going to bring reaction. It's going to bring reaction. And I'm not saying the loudest reaction is the most sincere. I'm just saying a reaction will come when you get it. When you get it. So let me ask you this as we bring this to a close. We've seen forgiveness experienced. Do you know what it is to be forgiven? Again, I'm not talking about forgiven by grandma or mama or your spouse. I mean divine forgiveness. Do you realize you owe God a debt? And there's nothing, nothing that can pay that debt except for your humble confession of your sin and that you owe that debt and that only that Jesus, through his death and burial and resurrection, can pay that debt. It's the only way. It's the only way. Brethren, we're so confused in our society today. We're so confused. People just think, well, you know what? The God of my mind, can I tell you, the God of your mind probably doesn't even exist. I hear people make those statements all the time. Well, the God of my mind, well, the God of your mind, I think we need to get concerned about the God in heaven, the real, true, and living God, not the God that you've made up, not the God of your imagination, not the God that you think is, but the God that is. There's not but one way to get to heaven. And boy, is there a battle going on today. There's a battle going on about that. Only one way. And that way is through Jesus Christ. When you leave this world, when you leave this world, science is not going to have an answer for you. Now hear me. Psychology is not going to have an answer for you. Secularism is not going to have an answer. Humanism is not going to have an answer. Only God has the answer to after death. Because it is appointed unto man to die, and after this, the judgment. And the only way to prepare for that is to be forgiven. And the only way to be forgiven is to accept Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? No, really. Listen, I'm not talking about in your mind or, you know, I signed a card when I was a kid. I mean a real encounter with the God of heaven. Changed your life to where you just wanted to find Jesus and weep and show him, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You think this woman was afraid somebody was going to find out she was a Christian? You think she was afraid, oh, I'm afraid, I don't want anybody to know that I'm a Christian. You think she was? She went into a public setting and cried publicly and used her tears to wash the feet of Jesus, then her hair to dry his feet, and then kissed his feet. Mm-hmm. You know what Jesus said? She did it continuously. Look, if you would, in the Bible here. He said, Simon, I want to show you what you're missing. You think you're someone. You think you're so much better than this lady. Let me show you where you stand before God and where she stands before God. He said in verse number 44, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? Isn't that amazing? She was right in front of him. She's right in front of Simon. And he asked him that question, you see this woman? Jesus doesn't mean, do you see her physically? He's asking Simon, do you really see her? You think you know this woman. You think she's that woman that used to stand out on the corner. You think that's her. Do you really see this woman? You're thinking in your heart, she is a sinner. You know, you don't know this woman. This woman has changed. Do you see this woman? Do you really see her? Did you watch her today, Simon? You're so busy judging her that you didn't see that she has showed you up all day. Now listen to me, brethren. God's going to teach us something here. If we're not careful, we'll be so busy judging everyone else that we won't see what they're really doing for God and what we're not doing for God. Notice what he said. He said in verse number 44, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, not her house now. Simon, I came into your house. Watch it now. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Look at verse number 45. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, watch this next phrase, which are many, are forgiven. Amen. For she loved much, but to whom little was forgiven, the same loveth much. Simon, you're going to sit up here and you're going to think you're better than her and you're going to think she's that and she's, ew, I can't believe he's letting her touch him. I can't believe this and I can't believe that. Simon, you don't get it. You don't get it. Do you get it? Do you get? Now listen, you say, well, her love brought her forgiveness. That's not what the Bible says. Look at verse 50. The Bible says, he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. You don't get saved by love. God could have stayed up in heaven and loved us, listen, for hundreds of thousands of years, but that wouldn't save us. God had to show his love, and he did by sending Jesus to die for us. Right? You're saved by faith. You believe what God says about Jesus. Do you believe that and have you received that? Please don't miss that. And so what Jesus is showing here is when you're saved by faith, it's going to produce a love, an affection. Has it produced that in your life? You say, preacher, I don't love Jesus. There's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason people don't love Jesus. Oh, I'm not talking about with this. Oh, my goodness. People tell people every day they love them here. I'm talking about here. People tell, oh, I love God. Really? Really? We use that word so loosely. I love this and I love that and I love this and I love that and I love this one, I love that one. Love is an action word. Right? Love is an action word. Love is not just a word we throw around. And so Jesus is saying here, hey, when you've been forgiven and you realize the depths that God went to forgive you, you will love Him much. So, next question. First question was, have you ever experienced forgiveness? Second question, do you love Jesus because of it? Do you? Now, I can't answer that for you. I can only answer that for me. As we sang our first hymn this morning about Jesus loving us, I tell you, I know how much Jesus loves me. Sometimes it's hard for me to wrap my mind around it. But I just question how much that I love Him. I want to believe that I love Him as I should, but I know that I don't. But I do want to love Him more. I do. How can I do that? I need to concentrate on His forgiveness and what He did to make that forgiveness possible. So the story ends up this way. Not only did this woman this day get to show her affection publicly and say, I'm not ashamed. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Well, I tell you, you mention Jesus in some public circles and people start shrinking. I thought you were a Christian. Yeah, but I'm not going to go throwing that word around. What's wrong with throwing that word around? What do you mean throwing that word around? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's the sweetest name that's ever crossed man's lips. It's Jesus. This woman came and publicly said, I just want to thank you, Lord. Sometimes it do us good to publicly thank Jesus. Publicly. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if we ought to do that. Well, I don't see where Jesus is trying to stop her. Right? Maybe more people would realize it's a great thing to do if more people did it. Secondly, she got not only to show her affection, she got some assurance. Notice what Jesus told her in verse number 48. He saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven. I think He had already forgiven them. I think what He's doing is giving her assurance. You don't got to worry about that anymore, ma'am. You don't got to worry about it. You know, sometimes people, they get saved and they come to me and say, preacher, I got saved, but I just don't know if, I just don't know, am I still saved? Well, if you got saved, you're saved. Amen? But it sure is good when you can hear the voice of God tell you that instead of the voice of a preacher. And if you'll begin to worship God, God will tell you. He will. He'll firm that right up in your heart. Just like He did this lady. She began to worship and He assured her, thy sins are forgiven. And then they that sat at meat with Him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? That might be a good reason that we ought to start publicly letting Jesus know that we're thankful. It may cause other people to say, who is this? Who is this? Give us an opportunity to introduce. I do want to show you one last thing in verse number 50. He said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Watch what He said now. Go in what? You know, there's people that are paying all kinds of money for peace. Trying to get it. Trying to get peace. They go to psychoanalysts. They go to psychiatrists. They have tried everything that money can buy and then some. Can't get any peace. The only way you're going to have peace is when you make it this way. You'll never get peace this way until you make it this way. Did you know the Bible says that man is at enmity with God? We're enemies with God until we become forgiven. And then we are received as friends because Jesus is the friend of sinners. When our sins are forgiven, we have peace with God. You have that peace this morning? Let's all stand to our feet.